ago. Amen. I'm still trying to wish I could be like Paul. I wish I could be like Peter. I wish I could be like John. I wish I could be on the level they had a chance to walk with the Master. I wish I could walk down the street with the Master. I'm thankful to the Holy Spirit that I can walk with the Holy Spirit all the time. He's always with me. And so here we are on page 109. Let's turn to 109. We're in the subject of God's purposes and not our plans. And so often, too many times, there are things that I have done in the church or have done in my own personal life only to be reminded that the idea, the thought, the desire wasn't on my own. And even though I came in like, I'm going to do this at the church, I'm going to do that, I'm out there going to visit the sick, I'm doing all that, I was trying to give me credit saying, I just want to serve, I want to be better, but I only realized God is the one that put that thought, that desire, that want to do it. If it wasn't for God to do that, I wouldn't be able to do it because I could fill my time with some other stuff other than visiting folk. Amen. I know I ain't the only one. I could fill 2 hours talking to myself and on TV and got the remote control going than sitting at somebody's house and visiting and doing all this stuff. Amen. But the Lord puts in our hearts those things to do. And so when it seems like it was my plan, I start to realize that it was God's plan. Amen. But then there are some times that it was my plan and it was all about me and it was less about God. You know, because sometimes I started serving and doing things so that I can get a pat on the back. I started doing things so people can recognize, yeah, Mr. Cole, the man. Kenny Cole, Deacon Cole, the man. And not realizing that it became not about God. It became more about people and me pleasing them and wanting them to make sure I'm good and I'm doing the right thing, but not realizing it was God's purposes that was missing. All right, and so here, let's go into the book a little bit, and it talks about God's purposes, not our plans. And I'm on page 108. I'm on page 108, and this is about, again, he looks at Moses.
God's way, did you begin with?
No, I mean God's purposes, not our own plans. Start on 106, but I'm going to go at the top of page 108. Okay. So we're still under God's purposes. Mm-hmm. But it's right before it gets God's ways at the top of the page. All right, and he's talking about Moses, and he's examining Moses' point of view. And I don't know about you all, I appreciate this book. Because you can read stories over and over and over again, and some angles you may miss. You see it, but you really don't get the angle what this author is going to. So sometimes he slows it down and goes right back over. Let me see. Again, I always reference. I'm a movie person. I love going to movies. Did you know how many people like movies or seen movies twice? Seen the same movie twice. Don't you go through it and say, I didn't see that the first time I saw that movie. Did I miss that or something? But when you go the third time, you really catch stuff. And so here this story, the way this angle of the author is going through, as reading reading Moses' story, I'm getting another glimpse and another side view of this story, which means you can never exhaust God's word. You can never see every angle at all times when you read God's word. There's always another angle. There's always more information for us to glean. So here he's looking at Moses again. And he's looking at it from the vantage point of saying, what if Moses, had asserted himself and he decided that he wanted to do some things not the way God desired for him, but his own. Like on the page 107, it says, turn the page, it says, Moses, having been trained in the best schools of Egypt, at the bottom of the page of 107, he says, The sight of their suffering may have pricked Moses' conscience because he was living in Egyptian comfort and luxury. Having been trained in the best schools of Egypt, he used his ingenuity and strength to help a fellow Israelite. Surely his intentions were commendable, but he failed miserably as a result, spent 40 years as a fugitive. What might have happened if Moses had tried to deliver the children of Israel through this same human approach? If he had used his own wisdom to mobilize the Israelites to cast off the yoke of bondage through military force, thousands of his people, on the page 108, would have been killed. Uh-huh. The Egyptians were a world power with a mighty army. untrained, unarmed slaves would have been decimated by the dreaded Egyptian army with its seemingly invisible chariots. God sent Moses into exile in Midian to work as a shepherd so he could learn God-centered thinking and God-centered living. All right? Now, what strikes you as odd in that paragraph from the Egyptians on down? Anything?
I guess one point is, just like you pointed out, mm-hmm. if he had did it, if he had tried to, if he had believed,
yes,
you know what some say, that he was delivered, mm-hmm. he delivered, you know, and decided to try to deliver the people,
yep.
he would have been doing it on his own
mm-hmm.
life,
mm-hmm.
and not, you know, not going through and having that encounter with God and recognizing, you know, that it's God.
Yeah, yeah.
And not him. You
okay.
know, and it's not him.
Okay, good point, good God. Point. Yeah, it's more God. Okay, anybody else? Yes.
Also, what I get out of it is that God needed to work on Moses.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes,
because
yes.
There was something to do.
Mm-hmm.
We have to first prepare us.
Sure.
In a position where we'll be obedient
mm-hmm.
and be trained to do it his way.
Yeah, yeah. I think Moses probably realized, because his mother raised him, so he's aware he's a Hebrew and not an Egyptian. But he knows the Egyptians' way of life, their culture, their political society. He knows everything about them. So it seems to him that I'm the right person to deliver, because while I'm far enough from my family to lead them, but I'm also close enough to the Egyptians where I can use my ingenuity, I can use my wisdom of learning their culture and their ways of life to deliver Israel.
Exactly.
So Moses tries this on his own, right?
Yeah.
But what's interesting, he ends up killing a man and become a fugitive.
Yeah.
All right? But what's interesting, what stands out to me, it says God sent Moses into exile.
Humble him some.
Huh?
Yeah. To humble him.
Okay, I get that, right? But so here's my foot. It seems like Moses killed the man, buried him.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else would know, he thought. But right, here comes the Hebrews the next day, say, "Hey, you gonna kill us like you did the Egyptians?" So word got out. Just when you think word don't get out, it get out. Amen. Word get out. So here word is out. So Moses runs on his own because Pharaoh hears it, and Pharaoh is angry and wants to kill Moses.
Mm-hmm.
But the book says, not the Bible, notice, the book says God sent him.
Sent him away.
So which is it? Is it Moses running from an accident and a mistake he made to try to what? Free himself and save himself? Or is it God?
I think it's God because this was God's plan.
Amen.
In order for the people
mm-hmm.
to be rescued
yes, ma'am.
From under the leadership
mm-hmm.
of the Egyptians
yeah.
and the cruelty.
Uh-huh.
So God used Moses from the time that he was born
sure.
to show up,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be rescued
uh-huh.
by the Egyptian woman
yeah.
from his mother.
Mm-hmm.
It was all set up so God could use Moses to strengthen him.
Right, right.
And his knowledge,
mm-hmm.
like you said, his education
mm-hmm.
and all
mm-hmm.
of that,
mm-hmm.
for him to be able to lead his people out.
Absolutely.
He was the one who had the strength and the knowledge and everything to be able to do this. Moses was a smart man.
Mm-hmm. Very smart. Yep.
So he like you said, he knew the Egyptian ways.
Yeah.
He knew how he could help his
mm-hmm.
people
mm-hmm.
and how he could talk
okay.
to Pharaoh.
Right, sure.
Because
sure.
Pharaoh, he
sure.
had a good thing with Pharaoh because Pharaoh loved him.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh,
and
uh-huh.
Like I said, he could go to Pharaoh and talk to Pharaoh.
Right.
Even though he knew that he was going to, that God wanted him
mm-hmm,
to
mm-hmm.
lead the Jewish people out of bondage.
Okay.
But Moses, like I said, I felt that Moses was just a strong,
okay.
strong person
okay.
that he could do this.
All right, good. Yes.
You think it's hired from God.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
God had a plan for Moses.
Yeah.
And I mean, you may go down the street, or you say, even you might have said, not me, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm not worthy.
Yeah.
But he said, yes, you can fool around if you want. I'm going to send you this place to humble you, but you're going to do what I want you to do.
Absolutely. Okay.
And I think this is what's happening with Moses.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
I think it's significant that he was there 40 years before the work that was predestined for him to do, and he did. And I think it's a lesson in that to us, because oftentimes we're in a hurry to do things, and sometimes we need to wait on God.
Yes.
So with this, God's plan, you know, came to fruition. He already knew that he was going to... have him wait this long.
Yeah.
But Moses had to learn God's way of thinking, and it gave him time. He was humble.
He
went from being elite to basically being the lowest.
Yeah.
And a way of life that he wasn't accustomed to.
Yeah, great
and
point.
And he learned how to depend on God.
Good. Wes?
I'm sorry. He was on. God let him get lost in the wilderness, as far as I'm concerned, to protect him. Mm-hmm. He was on both sides. He could live on both sides of the fence.
Yeah.
So he knew how to get along with both sides of people. But he didn't get lost in the wilderness. Pharaoh's army would have hunted him down and killed him.
Yeah.
So this way, with him being in the wilderness, he had a chance to do the work that the Lord had planned for him.
Yeah, good.
I just wanted to add something. In our youth, sometimes we think that's all about us.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's the way it was with Moses. He, being young, and figured that everything that he wanted, that he could do.
Yeah.
And I think God gave him this time, like he said, to humble him. Because I find, like, as you get older, you're supposed to get smart.
Yeah,
So this is what I think that Moses, he was getting, being more and more matured.
Sure.
He was learning more about God's ways rather than his own.
Yeah, and I agree. I agree with all of what you all said. But I still have a problem with it.
Moses had to get some leadership training.
He had to get some leadership training. But here's the thing that fascinates me. All of a sudden, one day, Moses wakes up and says, let me go out here to see what's going on with my people. He sees an Egyptian fighting against a Hebrew. He kills him. Right? He now thinks, I've gotten away with it. He goes back out again. Now, for me, Moses should have ran then. But for him to go out again means I've gotten away with this. Nobody knows. I'm good. I'm going to be deliverer of Israel. He goes out and sees the Hebrews. And they say, oh, no, you're not thinking, let me put in a Kenny Cole vernacular.
Okay.
No, you don't think you get ready to preach and lead us. And you done kill somebody. Look at people's resume. And you think you're going to pastor? And you got that in your background? All right? That's number one. But number two, so you telling me that if I sell drugs, get locked up, I can say, well, God sent me to jail so that he can prepare me. Because, again, I do agree with you all about working. And we have to, finish story. But the beauty about Revelation is walking the same way Moses walks. So you got to live verse 1 as if you don't have verse 2. So you don't know 40 years later, God's going to reprimand him and deliver him and he become a part of his plan. But as Moses is walking this, Moses thinking, I blew it. I ain't no way God can use me now. And I want to talk about how God is able to use you even then when you made mistakes.
Right.
Even when your past is not as great and as wonderful, and yet God still has a plan. Have you ever thought that you did this and did that? There's no way God can use me if they only knew my stuff. But God somehow flips the script. And what other people will say, you're not qualified, you're not gifted to do it. God said, well, let me finish with you. I got Moses. 40 years I got to deal with you. Wow. So what this shows me is God works his plan even though I make mistakes.
All right.
Yeah. You see, only thing about yeah, but you know what messes me up? We don't give too much room for people to make mistakes. Yeah, you know, God is patient and God works through mistakes, but men are told, that's God, that ain't me. It's going to take me some time to work through your background. It's going to give me some time to work through you've been stealing all the time. It's going to give me some time that you've been whoremongering all your life. It's going to give me some time if you've been talking about God. You know how we work through backgrounds? You know what's easy, though? We can work with in that background if the person is not in leadership. But the minute they start leading, that's when you bring in the background. Oh, Lord. No, they didn't bring her. No, they didn't let her run no ministry. Do you know who she is? You know what she done? Oh, Lord. No, don't do her. You know what he is? Oh, you know what they're talking about? No, don't do that. But here, Moses, he feels, I have do it. And here, God, this is nothing but the grace of God working on Moses' behalf. Because there are a lot of people in the body of Christ who really believe that God tells them to do something wrong and then use it for his good. Yeah, we talk about, you know, God did this. God, you know, I remember I was counseling a girl, a friend of mine, and she was amazing. She was married. And she said, then my husband got an altercation, Ms. Cole, and he grabbed me, and the Holy Spirit told me to reach down in the first drawer, grab that knife, and reached up, and I pointed the trigger, and the Lord said, shoot, and I shot. Yeah, now how do you deal with a woman like that? Wow. So, Minister Cole, I'm trying to tell you, the Holy Spirit, I didn't know the gun was there. The Holy Spirit led me right there. Again, because people in their mind believe that sometimes they read a story like Moses and say, see, God right here is the one that caused Moses to do this, and God sent. So that's why I have a problem with the book. I'd rather the book read, God worked in this and used, despite of Moses' mistake, he used it to develop Moses. But to say God sent Moses. Because if you read the story, you don't see God sending. All you see is Moses going on his own, and 40 years later, you see the burning bush. But where does it say God did it?
But if it hadn't been in God's plan, though.
Yes, ma'am. In what sense?
In that if God had intended for Moses to deliver his people at that time,
yes,
it would have happened. He wouldn't have fled and been in exile.
Yes.
It was God's plan that it worked out this way.
Absolutely. And the reason I'm saying this is that I want us to understand that we don't want to leave here believing that God is ordaining sin. And as a result of sin, God the one did it. And because God did it, because I've heard it so many times, God sent me to jail. And I've been telling people, no, my brother, you sent you to jail. But what happened is God worked in the jail to get you saved. But God didn't send you to jail to get you saved. You worked, and God sovereignly worked through the plan. And sovereignly through his grace. Allow that this plan that he saw in the picture, this person for you to be in prison, and then now God raises up somebody to come get you saved. But don't say God sent you there to kill a man and sell drugs and get in jail so that you get saved. Because there's other ways God could have did that. God could have just sent you to a church. and they saw something happen. So again, but here's God working with Moses and learning, and what we learned from that is I'm so glad that God is gracious. I'm so glad that because there are things I've done in my past that they would not be qualified for me to teach. I would be disqualified. And before you do this, yeah, you would be too. Disqualified for God even using you. But thankful to God, he works in what? In spite of us. Glory be to God. That's why we ought to have such humility. Because we realize that how jacked up we are, we're not even worthy. So here Moses, yes, I do believe God was working. But here's what's amazing. Moses is 40 years old at this time. Everybody turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Brother, and God works through mistakes. Acts chapter 7. I don't know what that was, but the Lord just told me to say that to you. Acts chapter 7. Are we there?
Yeah.
I think starting at like 30-something verse. This is the stoning of Stephen. Yeah, Acts chapter 7. This is the stoning of Stephen. So it's like at verse number...
54.
Stephen the martyr? No. Verse number... starting verse number 14. Yeah, I did. I was trying to find it first. Alright? So Acts chapter 7, verse 14. Then Joseph sent word and invited Jacob, his father, and all his relatives to come him... Some of him, 75 persons in all. And Jacob went down to Egypt, and there he and his fathers died. From there they were removed to Shechem and laid in the tomb which Abraham had purchased for a sum of money from the sons of Hamor in Shechem. But at the time of the promise was approaching, glory be to God, which God had assured to Abraham, the people increased and multiplied in Egypt until there arose another king over Israel, over Egypt, who knew nothing about Joseph. All right? It was he who took shrewd advantage of our race and mistreated our fathers so that they would expose their infants and they would not survive. Now, you don't get this in Exodus chapter 3. So what this is called is progressive revelation. God progressively revealing you more to the story than was previously stated. So God takes Stephen. Stephen is around about 40 AD around this time. Jesus had already died. So Stephen is around preaching. And now he's about to be killed. So Stephen takes this moment and to remind the Jews of their history. So he goes on to say that there was a king that rose up in Egypt that didn't know Joseph. All right? Then he says, it was he who took shrewd advantage of our race and mistreated our fathers so that they would expose their infants and they would not survive. So it's not just building brick without straw. Look what he said. It says they took advantage. They would expose their infants and they would not survive. So they were killing babies. All right? Look what it said. It was at that time that Moses was born, and he was lovely in the sight of God, and he was nurtured 3 months in his father's home. And after he had been set up outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and nurtured him as her own. All right? Moses was educated in all the learnings of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds. All right? But when He was approaching the age of 40. All right? He entered in his mind to visit his brethren. So again, Exodus don't give you how old he was. It just says on the day Moses went out. Stephen says he's 40. All right? And then it says, and when he saw one of them being mistreated unjustly, he defended him and took vengeance and oppressed by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him. But they did not understand. So Moses thought, now is the time. I know I'm called. I know God will do something through me, but I'm going to do it now. And what he didn't realize, that even though you may have a time and a desire, doesn't necessarily mean it's God's time. So as a result of that, he ends up killing a man. Because he thought, physically, this is how God wants me to deliver Israel. All right? Then look what he says. On the following day, he approached them as they were fighting together, and he tried to reconcile them in peace. Men, you are brethren. Why do you endure one another? But, verse 27, but the one who was injuring his neighbor pushed him away, saying, who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? Do you? And this remark, Moses fled and became an alien in the land of Midian, where he became a father of two sons. Does it say God sent him?
No.
Went on his own. All right? Now, Moses is on his own, married now, away from God's people, and look what it says. After 40 years have passed. Isn't that interesting? 40. D. What took 40 years to get in him, God used 40 years to get out of him. Moses, you are too connected to Egypt to really deliver Israel. So what I need to do is allow you to lead out of Egypt and spend 40 years by yourself so that I can what? Work on you, because I'm not going by your education or your skill set. I'm going by what? Me, Moses. Because when people see you deliver, they say you're the right person. But I want them to see me, because I'm going to use you, Moses, not your skill set. 40 years. So now he's 80. And here comes the burning bush. 40 years later, he says, God said, now it's time, Moses. Now, do you think Moses is ready to go?
No.
He wasn't. That's how God works. When you don't want to do it, all of a sudden, God just comes to work. So here's Moses, 40 years later, says the burning bush. He looks and sees it. And take these shoes off. The ground you stand on is holy ground. Now, what does God use? Help me to understand this. God appears in 40 years and says, now, my people, I've been hearing their prayers. Moses, time for you to go deliver them. What prepared Moses?
He had humility by then. He had humility by the work he was doing. As a shepherd for sheep. You know, God uses us through other people, and he teaches us through other people other things, how to be humble, how to be patient, long-suffering. But also, guess what, Moses?
You can't lead people that way. Because the minute somebody just don't like what you say, are you going to kill them like you did the Egyptian? So Moses, you're not ready to really lead the people yet. So let me go take you by yourself to work on your people's skills. because you're not qualified as a leader now. Because all you're going to do is strength. And I need you to be humble. I need you to be learning how to. Now, and what I'm saying, don't curse the most difficult situation that's in your life. God may be using it to develop you. Don't curse Midian if that's the reason why God is using it to develop you. God uses the craziest places to bring out leadership in you. So Moses is gone. He thought it's over. I've done God a good service. I don't want to do nothing with God. And here comes God. Just when you think God is finished with you,
he ain't.
So here's the book. It goes back to the book. It says this.
Well, Matt, come on, 108, right?
He says, when God delivered the Israelites from slavery, there was zero casualties, none. In this process, God even led the Egyptians to give the Israelites silver and gold and clothes. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I get to run and shout right there, because I'm so glad that God just don't let me suffer and just suffer and without him blessing me. I'm so glad that no matter how much I suffer, God's reward in my life will overcompensate all the hell I've been through. I'm going to tell myself, hey, God, you suffer, and you suffer, and you suffer, but when you come out of it, the blessing on the other side of it blows your mind, and you don't even remember how much you had to suffer because the way God blesses you is so overwhelming. And you know what's amazing about this? I'm so amazing about this that God blesses me through people who don't necessarily want to bless me. Do you think the Israelites wanted to give up their gold? Do you think they wanted to give up their silver? But somehow, God started working on them at night, working them on at night. Hey, that gold you got over there, give that to Kenny Cole. That gold you got over there, give that to Evelyn. That gold you got over there, give it to Deacon. Because why? God will bless you for your struggle. Glory be to God. That's why you can't curse your struggle. You can't curse what you're going through. Because God is saying, if you only wait on the other side of it, I got a blessing that will blow your mind. So if you want to do it while you're in it, praise the Lord while you're going through it. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Ah. See, we always read Job's story in chapter 1 and 2. But where do we read chapter 1 and 2 and 42? I'm so glad that God said, what chapter in the book that you in with Job? But you can't finish his book unless you get to the end. I'm so glad the end is better than my beginning. I'm so glad that before I go in, I may have 3,000 sheep, but when I come out of it, I have 6,000 sheep, and God will bless me double for the hell I've been through. I'm not the only one in here that you've been blessed beyond measure. It ain't because you've been so good. It's because of what you've been going through. God said, I'm going to reward you, give you promotions you didn't ask for, give you blessings you didn't think of, give you anything. My God. Woo! Man. And that's why you can't take credit. And you know what amazing about me? That God, his blessings got to be retroactive. Because when I measure what I'm going through, it's almost like it's double what I end up getting. Ooh, God. So what I started doing in my life, I started to realize that the hell is an indicator that God wants to bless me. Yeah. See, sometimes we always wait to the sunny side and wait till my supervisor start being nice before God lets me know. Your supervisor, Martha, don't realize that there's a year one and a month one when God says enough is enough, I'm about to bless Martha. But what he has to have you do is go through so that on the other side of it, she'll bless you way beyond you ever thought or imagined. But you got to go through it. So these Israelites gave them gold and silver and clothes. Hold on, hold on. know that the gold and the silver was extra?
Yeah.
Did you know that? How's the extra Miss Goldblatt's act? They were going to what? A land flowing with what? Milk and honey. Earlier, they were making straw brick without straw. Heat all day, suffering all day. But God said, I got a plan, and I'm going to take you to the plan flowing. But you can't appreciate flowing if you ain't suffering. You can't appreciate a good man until you had a bad one. You can't appreciate a good woman until you had a bad one. You can't appreciate a good job until you had a bad one. You can't appreciate a new cop if you ain't had a hoopty. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, glory to God. So God said, sometimes I got to take you through. Glory be to God. I don't know what you came in here for tonight. I feel fired up tonight. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. I'm on my way to a land flowing. But Kenny, on your way, take some gold with you. On your way, take some food, take some silver with you. Can you imagine? Let me use my binocular for a minute. Because in Egypt, I know, you know, they probably were taunted by the Egyptians all that time. The Israelites probably were taunted. Look at y'all. Y'all making bricks and straw. And y'all hot out there, and we in the shade, and they getting all this gold, and they wearing all these nice robes, and they walking around looking at us, and we just shoveling, and we praying, but we shoveling, and they saying, look at him, he'll never be blessed, he ain't never had none, you shouldn't be Egyptian, you shouldn't be an Israelite, and they getting all this gold, but they don't realize they're getting the gold for me. See, their accumulation of getting the gold was so that God can say, give it away.
Amen.
So that's why you can't dismiss your enemies or your haters. Because God will use their accumulation to bless you.
Amen.
So here they are getting all this, and God says, I got a day that I'm going to bring. The reason why VCU happened, it's because of all the suffering you've been through. And God said, let me reward my daughter, let her know that the best is still yet to come.
All right.
And that's just extra. That ain't nothing with what you really great to get into. That ain't nothing with the career and the promotion and the blessing and the opportunities that God's going to flow her way. So he said, let me just bless you to show you VCU was in you when you were struggling. Let me run for her. Amen. Yeah, because sometimes you can go through so much, and what people do is that they want to celebrate your accomplishment. Oh yeah, VCU, praise the Lord, and that's good. But sometimes you gotta shout like you never shouted before in front of them, because some of them don't know the hell you've been through before you know you got to that. So sometimes I remind folks that, yeah, I know I'm blessed right here, but you don't know what I had to go through to get. You don't know what I had to suffer to give for God. That's why, and that you can't make me feel bad about my blessing. You can't make me feel bad about God's favor in my life, because you didn't go through the hell I went through. You were not Jesus, man. While you see you well, I'm struggling and going through. So don't make me feel bad because I drive a Mercedes. Don't make me feel bad because I didn't have the devil is a liar. You think I'm going to let you make me feel bad? No. No. Talk about me all you want. God did it.
Yeah.
The Israelites said, "Look, give me that gold." Yeah. On your way out, someone like God, you know, our boys in our locker room, they smack each other on the butt. Good job, man. They say, smack your mouth up, that blessing. They give me that. I need that. I need all of that. Yeah. They go out with clothes, gold and silver. But D, before you get to shout over the gold and the silver, you got to be real, recognize that the gold and silver won for you. Yeah, I know the blessing that God gave you, but it wasn't for Israelites to enjoy. Because when they got halfway out, God sent them instruction, now build my time.
All right.
You got to, and so, God, what are we going to build with? That gold and that silver that you took out of Egypt.
Yeah.
So that's why we got to be careful when God blesses us and we reach a salary level, or we reach a living level, that we get twisted and think it's about us. And God says, no, Israel, guess what? That gold and silver ain't for you, it's for my kingdom. I need you to build my tabernacle. What did I say? Let's go. So sometimes you got to realize that the blessing is for you, but it ain't all for you, that all you right. have to be willing to be a blessing. So here, the book says that old Egypt, he says that they didn't lose a single person. All right? Let me also say this. A lot of times, Belly, we shout over coming out. I want to change that. That sometimes we need to shout why in. Because sometimes a miracle is not me coming out. Sometimes a miracle is I survive why in. Because there are some people who've been through what I've been through, they jumped off bridges. But God gave me enough resolve to say, son, don't you quit. Don't you give up. Don't you throw the towel. You hang on in there. And so sometimes it's God keeping me that better than his blessing. Oh, God. Yeah, glory to God. It ain't sometimes that God bless you through the chemo. It's sometimes God keeping your body long enough to survive chemo. Because the cells could take your body down that you can't even receive chemo. But the blessing is, God said, I got your body strong enough to be able to receive it. True glory to God. All right. So he said, why do we not realize that the children of Israel didn't lose a person? What does that say? There's some stuff I can't die in. There's some stuff, Charlotte, has been meant to kill me, but it can't. Because I've been destined to survive Canaan. I can't brag on me.
All right.
But there's some stuff that I realize now I couldn't have died then. Because God had in mind that some things that you have to do, so you have to survive through this. Because I have something greater on the other side. If you die now, you'll never walk into what I called you to and do what God has called you to do. So I got to get you to go through. Then you come on the other side. So there's some stuff I didn't realize I was going to make it through. I thought I was going to die, but God says no. And me looking back on it, I couldn't die then. Because God let me see that there's a purpose and a destiny for me. All right? And for you. All right, let me move on. He said, why don't we realize that doing things God's way is always best? We cause a great deal of pain in our relationships and division in our churches because we act the way Moses did in his youthful zeal. We decide what we think is best for our families, our business, and our church. We develop our plans. We implement strategies, at times even imposing them on others and then experiencing the meager or even destructive results of our limited knowledge, reasoning, and power. Look what he said. Oh, that we would discover the difference when we acknowledge Christ as the head of the body and the church. All right? He will accomplish more in 6 months through a people yielded to him than we could in 60 years. Now, here's my question to you all. Did Moses get past the wilderness?
He did.
He did?
Yeah.
Think so?
No, because God said that he was going to punish him by keeping him back. He would never see the promised land.
Yeah. So which means he did what?
He stayed.
He died in the wilderness.
I thought you were talking about when he was in exile.
Yeah. So, which tells me Moses was trained for what he was destined for. So Moses had to be in the wilderness because the Israelites was going through the wilderness. So his 40 years of development was also their 40 years that he had to take them around. Good God. God is so bad and so majestic in how he does things, Moses. Yeah, I know you 40 years, but guess what? What you don't know is that when you leave the spies out, they ain't going in, and they will be around 40 more years. So I need you 40 years earlier being experienced to lead them around 40 years. Because you've been here 40 years. Isn't that interesting? That the 40 years it took to develop Moses was the exact 40 years that he led them around. And when he got to the promised land, God says, you ain't going in. And that should show us you ain't going beyond what you've been destined to go. All
right.
That's what I'm so amazed about God and how precise with his timing and what he wants to do. But what this shows us is Moses went 40 years too soon and tried to accomplish what God wanted. Well, he didn't realize in Acts chapter 7, if he only took the time and prayed and says, God, is this your timing? How many times do we do that? We got the zeal, we feel the call, but we jump. And we think, because it's waiting for us, and we're now involved, that means God is. And God is saying, Moses, don't you get ahead of yourself. I've been knowing my people been in bondage longer than you ever been born, dude. They've been in bondage before you got here. So are you trying to come here, Johnny, come lately, and then you want to go ahead of God and try to do this thing, God? God said, dude, I know where they are. I got them. I know where I'm going to get you. Chill out. That's what Moses should have got. He should have got from heaven. Chill out, Moses. It ain't time yet. Let me develop you. But he goes out because what? He thinks my calling is equal to timing. And you may have a calling, a gifting, and the ability to do, but it may not be God's time. And that's what sometimes that we miss. Because we go ahead and we got the right zeal, but God says, ain't time to do that yet. And so we got to be careful of doing that. So Moses shows us that, all right? So look at God's ways. He says, God wants us to know more than his character. He wants us to know and learn his ways. How do we learn? By studying. Uh-huh. What else?
Listening and praying.
Listening and praying. What else? Meditating. Huh?
Meditating.
Yes, ma'am.
And also just by trials and tribulations you go through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Experience. Some of the best ways to learn God's ways is to experience him. And there are a whole lot of Christians who come to church, but they're not experiencing God. They're experiencing church, but they're not experiencing God. And so what they're trying to do is learn God through church ways. That's what's wrong with the Jews when Jesus came. Jesus, what you doing? He even on the Sabbath. He said, man, your traditions hinder the move of God. Why? Because they were looking for a Messiah to come a different way. And now Jesus coming differently. They said, no, we know how God works. God works through the temple. God works through the law. And God ain't going to work outside of that. Ever met people like that?
Yeah.
We ain't never done it that way. That's how I sound.
Oh, yeah.
We don't do that here. Yeah. Jesus, we start service at 3 o'clock. Don't you come and try to do no revival at 5. Jesus, don't break out between offering and meditation. Because you don't got to do meditation. And that's what we do sometimes. We got to learn God's way. So as a church, it's one thing to learn God's ways individually, but you also got to learn God's way corporately. There's some things corporately that we need to experience God. There's some ways that are not all of that God wants us to learn his ways. And truth be told, sometimes we put people's name on it. This God's way because God was moving through her or moving through him. So this is their thing. And as if now, you know, so Sister Sam didn't say to come hide me. Well, I got like this to come, so I got to be. No, God is saying, I want to learn a different way. Learn through your way how God tried to spirit. Don't always try to copycat. But let me also stick a pin. I ain't going to get involved because I was involved when what's the name was doing it. As long as what's name ain't doing it, I'll be involved. But the minute what's name ain't doing no more, you count me out, I ain't involved no more. And could it be that God is trying to show us new ways of experiencing Him? Moses is not the same as Joshua. Moses was what? Appeasing the people. Moses was a people oriented guy. But not Joshua. Joshua ain't playing. Hey, where you at? Get your family, get all your kids, get everybody, and stone everybody to death like that. Joshua didn't play. As for me and my house, we were what? Serve the Lord. Okay, where you at? But I know me and my house. Joshua did not play. Because why? That's what God needed at that time, was a Joshua leader. So again, Israel can't be so caught up on Moses. And look what God said to Joshua. Moses is what? Dead. Now, that's what we ought to say to some things in church. Moses is dead. Woo, God. Woo, woo. We've been doing this 50 years like this. We're going to keep on doing the same old way, and the same old way, and the same old way. We've been singing this song the same old way, the same old way. And some of us need to say, Moses is dead. It's time for Joshua and some new blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, I didn't say that. Get out of here. All right? Look what he says. We cannot know how God acts unless He what? Teaches us. God has to teach you. Because some of us are so deep in knowledge, God can't teach us. Alright, then he says, He sees the future. He understands our world, everything that takes place in it. God knows the eternal consequences of every action. God's ways lead to life. He brings joy, holy, and perfect. All right? Paragraph 2. Doing things God's way is always best. All right? When God's people do not follow His ways, all right, the consequences can be extremely painful and discouraging. Let's say that again. Doing things God's way is always best. When God's people do not follow His ways, the consequences can be extremely painful and discouraging. It's nothing greater to be discouraged to be around a leader who's not following God. Can you imagine being married to somebody who ain't following God? Can you be a Martha supervisor who ain't following God? Woo! And so it can be discouraging. Look what he said. God promised the people, joy and fulfillment if they would live according to His ways. But they did not do it. We always, to some degree, try to do things our way. Anybody, little witness, when you try to your way? And let's help some people. Just say, just do God's way, not your way. Let's hear everybody. Just do things God's way, not your way. Because I promise you, God's way is best. God's way is best. And it's nothing greater to follow a woman of God and a great woman of God who lead the ministry, to follow them in such a way because God is walking with them. But too many times, we got a whole bunch of leaders, and I always told me, and I said this before, that if you are leading and nobody following you, all you're doing is taking a walk. Number 2, also as a leader, it's incumbent upon you to follow God and let people see God through you. Because again, at the end of the day, you want them to answer to God, not you. Alright? Then look what he says. Alright? God's way on the other paragraph, he says, when they did not listen to me, Israel did not obey me, so I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own plan. Anybody know what that means?
Let you have your own way.
Huh? Let you have your own way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pay the price for doing it your way.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. What's the New Testament name for it? When God turns you over to yourself.
Depraved
mind. Reprobate mind.
Yeah.
Hey, if you like you so much, you like your ways so much, guess what? I'm going to turn you over to you. And that's one of the worst things God can do, is turn over yourself to you. Maybe you don't think so, but you know you jacked up. I'm so glad God don't turn me over to me. Because
yeah.
I'm jacked up. And I know that my thoughts and my way and how I be trying to figure stuff out, all of a sudden God looks at me and saying, dude, I wasn't going that way, I'm going this way. And at many times when I tried to do it my way, it didn't work. Or it worked for a moment, and then it blew up. Blew up right in my face. You know what's amazing? Is that God will allow people to see it before I see it. Any Balaams in the house? Balaams. Ride on a donkey? Anybody know the Balaam story? They ride on a donkey, and he's supposed to be a seer. And he told, because what? He said, hey, I'm going to curse Israel. God said, no, don't do it. He said, people came back with all the money and clothes. He said, let me go back again and talk to God. Hey, God, these people. God said, hey, man, these people behind you, go with them. All right, I'm going to go. And the donkey sees what? The angel. Got a sword. Ready to do what?
Kill him.
Right? You know what's interesting in that story? Who sees the angel?
The donkey. The donkey saw.
Who's supposed to be the seer? So, when you do things your way, instead of being a seer, God will turn you into a
donkey.
I know what the King James says. King James says. Yeah, again, and I think so that we do that. And the sad thing is, he didn't know that the donkey had more sense than he did. The donkey was gone, and he started talking to the donkey. You know you're out your mind. You're talking to an animal, and the animal's talking back to you, and you're sitting having a conversation with an animal. And see, I don't want to go too far with this because I know animal loves and I don't want. But the point of the donkey is talking. And he talks back to the donkey. And the sad thing, he still don't know that he's a donkey. The donkey become the prophet and he become the donkey. And too often, that's what we have. And the sad reality is that in our churches, there's some people who are donkeys and they think they're prophets.
Let me say that again.
Yeah, I'll have to mount out. Thinking they are prophet, but they are really a donkey because they are so disobedient, so out of the will of God, and they're doing their own thing, and they don't even realize they think they're prophetic and think people don't like them. No, there's a donkey letting you know there's an angel ready to kill you. And if we leave you long enough, you'll start talking to the donkey, and then we really know you're crazy. All right? Let me move on. He said on page 109, God wants us to align our lives with him so that he will accomplish his divine purpose in and through us. I think that should say through us.
All right? God is not our servant to bless our plans. He is Lord. We must adjust our lives to what? What He is doing. We got to adjust. I've never seen God call somebody to something and it was comfortable. They got to make no adjustments. If you don't have to make no adjustments, you got to question if it's God. Because too often in this Bible, I see people had to readjust stuff. Abraham, leave your father and mother and go to our country. I'm going to show you. Mary, you will have a baby.
What?
I never know. Yeah, you want to adjust your life. Joseph, don't you kill her. Adjust your life. Marry her. Peter, hey, right now you go where you want to go, but there's going to be a time that you're going to have to make the adjustment. Paul, I know you're a great dude, great deal. Guess what? I'm going to knock you off the beach, make adjustments. And Hannah, hey, I know you're barren, but guess what? Make adjustments. Make sure that you live your lifestyle the same way I want your son. No matter woman of God, man of God, when God calls you to do something, He makes you to want to adjust. But sometimes people fail to make the adjustments. So we try to make God fit in our box. Don't interrupt our schedule, God. Don't interrupt our time, God. Because God, you know. And God said, oh, no, I will sometimes. I will sometimes interrupt your regular schedule program. And sometimes, when the Holy Spirit breaks out sometimes, that's God saying, I'm so tired of your program, I'm gonna break it up. 5, 8, 7, 8, 3. God will always try to what? Break up, because He wants number one priority. God wants to be number one. And as long as He's number two, you will always never make the adjustments. But God is a jealous God. And He said, I will have what? No other God before me. I want number one. So we have to what? Make our alignment. And that's what God wants us to see. Believers, the world is waiting to see. If Jesus makes a difference, then it ought to make a difference in your life. Show me where Jesus made a difference. All right, let me move on. All right, look what it said on page number 110. God's ways were more sufficient. All right, let me move back real quickly. He said, Israel was delivered from the bondage of in Egypt by miraculous ways, signs, wonders. They walked through the sea, bottom of page 109. They walked through the sea on dry ground and saw the seemingly invisible Egyptian army destroyed by the Red Sea. They saw God provide bread from the sky, flocks from quail to eat meat, fresh water coming from a rock. Why wouldn't you think that they could trust God to do anything after that? God has demonstrated He is miraculous power in your life. And you still don't want to trust Him. Red Sea been parted. He been giving them meat from heaven. Bread from heaven. He come a pillar of cloud, pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. They've been getting demonstrative signs that this is God's will and His purpose in your life. And I'm doing some things. And they get to the red. They get up to Jordan and say, we look like grasshoppers to them. God didn't mean for us to have this promised land. I always wondered, Charlotte, how people go through the most horrific stuff and they still don't want to come to church. They have car accidents. God been healing their body, performed miracle after miracle, and they still say, I ain't coming to church. I ain't coming to get God. And some of us, God been healing our bodies, begin a demonstrative miracle, and then here come praise. You know what we do? I ain't praising. You don't take all that. I ain't gonna do that. And God is saying, I've proven myself over and over. When are you going to trust me? And too many times, we keep putting God to the test. God, do this. If you do that, God, I'll do this. If you do that, God, I'll do it. And God said, yeah, I've done all that. Now what? All right? Look what he said. He says, God's ways were more than sufficient to conquer the land, but the people trusted in their own thinking, chose to attempt only what they thought they could accomplish themselves. And because of that, they missed God.
There's so many churches that do so many things in their own strength. And they wonder how they're doing it and not realizing you are missing out on a blessing from God if you only surrender yourself to doing it God's way. You know, I remember Pastor Jimmy used to always say that the first time Glenn on there, that 13 to 14,000 members. And I remember when he first came to the church, it was about 1,000 at that time when he first came. And they were selling chicken dinners. They were doing well. Communities were coming up. The community was out there. People were buying them dinners. And they were, and some of the people buying the dinners were some of the people that were coming to the church. And so when he said, we no longer doing it that way, he lost deacons, he lost leaders, and he lost half the congregation. And some people said, are you kidding me, dude? No, you didn't do this. This is your thinking. And they were so caught up on the thousand and what they were missing, that 15 was coming. And you get so excited about your accomplishment. But if you only let God take a toll of it and step out on faith and trust him, he will do more than what you could ever do in your own strength. That's why it's necessary for us to do. So when Pastor Jimmy Devin, he said, I can't take credit. God did this. Yeah. But me, Kenny Cole, looking back, saying they were excited about 1,000. And they almost ran him out of the church because he changed that one thing that was a catalyst to get them to now they got 30 million in reserves. But they was getting thousands of dollars off chicken dinners. But he said, when they went to their own building, they paid it off. By the time they went and built their new building, they had already burned the deed they had paid for in cash. The new building. All he has to say is time and offer, praise the Lord. Them people shout, go crazy off of when it was 500,000 people, he said it. When nobody said a word, they almost ran him out of church, stopping the chicken dinner, because that was the way they raised the money. He says, no, we're going to do it God's way. We're going to do time and offering. And from that, they bloomed. And in your life, haven't you bloomed when you decided to do it God's way? Amen. And so we have, as a church, as Mahalo, we got to be in the habit of being a church that do it God's way. Can you imagine what Leesburg will see if we only do things God's way? Amen. Glory to God. And so here he says, look at, he says, God's activity versus our plan. On page 111, the only way for us to make useful plans is to first understand what God's purposes are. God is seeking to bring people in your community and nation to himself. What's the goal of church? What's the purpose of church? Yes, ma'am.
To worship God.
Yes, okay. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. Huh?
Start other churches.
So to go to church, start other churches. Okay. So to worship God, start other churches.
To bring
to what? To make disciples. Good. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. What else?
Also for to bring together those who are baptized believers,
mm-hmm,
together,
yep,
on one accord.
Yes, absolutely. All right.
And is to teach also
God's ways. Yes. Mm-hmm. Teach God's
ways, yep. And also, mm-hmm, as Christian in a church, it is to build up the kingdom of God by working together and bringing in new converts.
Absolutely. So all of that is working, yes, and it all, you answer the question. All of that is right. But the ultimate goal, if you read Acts, they were all on one accord. Worship and prayer. And the Holy Spirit broke out. They started speaking in tongues, other languages. And the Jews
who were in dispersed and heard it from other languages, heard them praising God in their own language, saying, who are they? They are drunken men. Peter stands up and says, no, they're not. They're not drunk, right? These people get saved, and the Bible says, and God added to not the group, but the church.
Well, what Matthew 28 says?
Go ye what?
Therefore. Yes. So it's a command to do what?
Go.
Go. Have you ever heard it talk? Have you ever heard it talk that way? Oh, yeah. It's go. The command is to go. You know what it really is in the Greek? As you already have known. I ain't telling you to go. You already know to go. As you know. Because go means you didn't know to go.
You mean
now go, go. So the verb says, as you are going. Because you already understand. You can't just stay in. You got to go out. So church already knows as they're going out, make disciples. Here he says in the book, God's goal is to do what? To your community. And the nation. That's what God called at Mount Olive. We ought to be thinking, what does God want us to do in this community of Leesburg? What does God want us to be like for Loudoun County? What does God want us to be like for this region in Virginia? What souls are out there that God wants to bring in? Or is it only God wants those who belong to First Mount Olive to come together and worship and praise the Lord? No. I believe it's both and. He does want us to come together. He does want us to be on one accord and worship and learn and teach. But he says the goal is to learn and teach to go out. And as you're going out, you're making other disciples. Because why? I got other people that belong to this kingdom. But I need you to be going. So here in this book is teaching us, don't worry about your ways. When you're doing what God wants you to do, he says, have a global focus. When you put on a show or you put on a service, he said, have the goal in mind. What is God, how's God going to use this service to draw people in? How can God draw the community in? We're going to be thinking, on my job, how does God use me to draw the community? How does God use me to draw a clerk that at the sanctuary that may want to save? How can God use me at the college or at the school that may want a friend that need to be saved? How can God use me? And not just, how can we bless my heart and have a good time and go home? The goal is that we have a good time, yes, but at the expense that we should be ready and pray and believe in God. And like, when we put on program, I want this committee to be praying. God, send us a harvest. Let us just not have a servant. God, show us some new people that may get saved on that Sunday. Yeah. God, we're praying that somebody from school, somebody from the world will come to our service and as a result of that, get saved. Not praying, God, let us have enough chicken legs and enough baked potatoes and enough chicken rings and enough string beans that we can have a good time. Let's have a good choir and a good sermon and a good worship leader. There, Lord, give us that, Lord. Let us plan this right. No, the goal is, God, how can you use us to draw other people into the kingdom? It's about kingdom focus, not Mount Olive. The church is not a building. It's people. So there are other people that God wants to use. I'm not saying being church stealers, but if we're so busy doing the work of God, those who are sitting at other churches ain't doing nothing. You know what y'all doing? What's the name of that church? What's the name of that church that's so big down the street? What's the name of it? You know why people go visit?
Yeah.
The pastor don't get on and say, come visit us. They why? You know why? They're doing so much. And also the people.
Come see what God is doing at our church. We love our church. Come on, we always got something going on. But what are we saying about our church?
But it's not funny, but it's serious. This is sad. Because we're all about, because again, I want to charge us that we need to revisit what we're doing. Why are we here? What's the purpose? Just to come and get along? I love you, deacon, but again, I want to see more deacons. I want to see more trustees. I want to see more ushers. I want to see young ushers. I want to see young adult ushers.
I
want to see it. Absolutely. And that's what we keep doing. We're not doing it. And I wonder why we're not doing it. Because here's what will happen. We'll meet like this. We'll talk like this. And we get to our meetings when you can influence change and make a difference. You go right back to the normal way. Yeah, we're going to have this. Oh, we're going to have this at 3:30. We want to make sure everybody has enough chicken and make sure we have enough plate. We got some service here. Make sure we do all that stuff. But I wonder if committees, when they organize their function, are they sitting saying, let's fast and pray to see what God wants to do with this?
No.
Are we laying before God saying, you know what, instead of us being barber, can we come together and just pray and fast and lay before God up in the sanctuary before we get into the planning process? Can we lay before God, God, what your will is? Can we get there? Because I believe the minute we start, that minute, and I'm not saying you ain't doing it. If you are doing it, praise the Lord. But we need a collective effort of all of us on one side. And you have the opportunity to make the influence. You are on committees. You are in ministry. And you can make it happen. Stop staying and waiting for everybody else to do it when you can do it. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
If you have someone that's coming and
absolutely.
They're eager and they want
absolutely.
A and B, and you shut them down before they even get there,
I agree.
Don't want to come yet.
I agree.
Amen.
Great point. A great point, Charlie. You're making a great point. And I believe that that is what used to be. Notice I say what is and used to be. Because when I learned about God, God knows how to move people. Okay, all right. God knows how to move people out of the way. They want to stand there and hold things up. I promise you. I promise you. God knows how to. If God wants you to do it, I promise He'll move that person out, even when they don't want to. I don't know why I'm telling you to do this, but maybe you ought to host this time. Oh, I'm glad you asked. Thank, praise the Lord. Because God wants me to shake this up. But it starts, Charlotte, with praying. When you get a role like that and get a roadblock, and what tends to happen is you get frustrated and you leave. And that's what happens. And then God does get glory because why? You made that person more than God. And don't get me wrong, I don't think that I'm not saying we're not human and we go through experiences, but sometimes we bail out too quickly. And sometimes God may want to be working and working and working. That person will loosen as they're working. And I'm saying we need to pray. Yes, ma'am.
God is calling us to be bold.
Absolutely.
Not to be scared.
Absolutely.
To be bold and to be persistent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ask why to leaders. Why are we doing it this way? You don't have to do it in a conversational way, but you can ask a question to challenge us as leaders to think. Because again, we want to be doing what God wants us to do at the time we're doing it. Because I want God to explode. And there's so many people that I drive past in Leesburg. I know they're in church. But they're saying, my Lord, where you at? I can't talk with Providence. I ain't at that church. I'm right here. They're saying, my Lord, what you doing? Can you be the resource I need? And I'm saying, yes, we can. Yes, ma'am. And yes, ma'am. And yes, ma'am.
I wanted to share that, when I first shared that I wanted to work in the nursery,
mm-hmm.
And then I worked there, I guess I've been there like 4 Sundays,
mm-hmm.
and the first 2 or 3 times I felt uncomfortable, not mm-hmm. for anything that Barbara, Christina, or anybody else did that worked there, all very
mm-hmm.
loving,
mm-hmm.
but I felt shy and not confident. Mm-hmm. I love children, but it seemed like I wasn't interacting or anything. Mm-hmm. And then I decided, I'm going to pray about this. So I prayed about it. I just said, Lord, you know, I thought I wanted to be in the nursery. Is this what you want for me? And I went in there last week, and it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. Everything God made me just, I opened up to the children, and I told Barbara about it later when we went to Austin Grove. I said, you know, I felt uncomfortable for a while. And now I feel like that is where God wants
Praise
me.
The Lord.
And not
Praise
feeling.
The Lord. Amen.
I just really think, I got on my knees and prayed.
Yeah.
Look what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And look at what would have happened if you would have looked at the response of the children. Then you would have left a golden opportunity.
Right.
For God to show you on the fifth visit. See, you went the fourth visit and said, you know what, this ain't for me. I'm not going to go on the fifth visit after you prayed. Whoa! Look at the kids.
And Barbara can tell you, I blossomed last time.
Mm. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you,
sir. I have more of a question than a comment. So, suggestion on how do you draw the community in, and how what do we need to do at First Mount Olive?
That's a great question. I think there's so many things that need to be done. First of all, it starts with our marketing, how we're marketing our programs and our services. It starts with us being more intentional about creative ways to involve the community. You know, and I can't say the end all is one certain way. Mm-hmm. God, through his own creativity, could, if you have the intentional focus of, I want to involve the community, the Lord will drop strategies on how to make that happen and how to make that a reality. I just believe that we don't tap into the Holy Spirit to the great degree of he can give us wisdom and give us insight on how to go about doing it. And it's not as hard as we make it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because this book tells us God is already working. He's already working in Leesburg. All he wants us to do is join him. And it starts in that with being prayer, intentional, and praying. Praying for strongholds to be broken. Praying for God to open doors. Praying for God to change mindsets. Praying for God to open up ministry. Praying this thing for people to be ready and open. It starts with praying. Don't ever think that I'm saying anything without prayer. Prayer is the way that we stay in tune with God, and this is God's program, and we can and let him open up doors. Then we open up and say, now walk this way, walk that way, and I think he'll do that. Yes.
So I have a heart for women's ministry, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried here to have our ministry flourish as far as the women's ministry.
Yep.
But I just don't know what to do.
Okay, are you the first person that ran the ministry?
No.
Okay, was there somebody before you?
Yes.
Okay, have you sat down with them? And got wisdom from them? Yeah, so maybe you can sit down with them. Yeah, so maybe you can sit down with them and say, you know, meet them one-on-one, say, you know what, hey, when you ran the women's ministry, how did God give you, what did God lay on your heart? How do you go about doing it? And you take that wisdom and you go back and pray, say, God, even though they led that way, God, let me be fresh in how I'm doing this, God, and so how I can take what I've learned from them, but yet, God, use me in this time and season as to what you want me to do with this
ministry.
I don't
think that ministry has ever really flourished.
Yeah. Okay.
As far as I know it.
Yes. Okay.
Yes,
well,
one time.
Yeah. But even the word flourish is relative to the individual. So relative flourishing may be.
I know you're not supposed to look at numbers either.
Yeah, but you want to look at effectiveness and how ministries run.
Yes.
But also, you can, the person that was before you may have had the creativity, but the timing of God was not ready yet. So they may give you some wisdom on, hey, here's what you could do because I tried to do this and it wasn't the timing, and maybe you're the right person at this time to do this, and it may accomplish what God wants to accomplish.
But I'll tell you one thing, I'm willing to step aside if someone else can.
Sure, and we'll pray and ask God, this is your ministry, your season. Because again, Moses, maybe, you know, yeah, God may want you to do that, but what his timing? I'm not saying give up, only you know, you got to work with you and God on that. I can't just go say, y'all got me, I tell you that. But I say, don't look at what's not happening to say, then I'm ready to give up. I'm not the right leader. Because that's not necessarily the case. It may be because that God's timing is trying to work on you through some things and work on you and work on the ministry to get ready, and it's ready the timing of God. So sometimes it's not working, not because it's you, but then sometimes it may be you, and if it is you, Lord, you know how we are, Lord, work on me. I'm not the best thing since like great God. I got issues, so God, work on me. Maybe I need to be more of a recruiter. Maybe I need to delegate a little bit more. Maybe I need to find another woman that can help me promote it. Maybe I need to delegate a little bit. So it's creative ways you can do to make the ministry flourish. But the most important you need is that Holy Spirit is leading God. You. Yes, Berlin, and then, did you want to add to it?
I just wanted to say that a lot of churches are drawing people because of the services that they provide. Child care.
Oh, absolutely.
Providing child care, bringing him family.
Mm-hmm.
Providing, some churches have ministries like minister to people with AIDS, or mm-hmm. they may have single widowed person's
mm-hmm.
ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And so people come because
they need
help,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
we need to think about how we're ministering to people.
Oh, absolutely.
And we have traditionally just had the auxiliaries that we've always had, but the world has changed.
Yeah.
And we have to change
to
look at what's happening around us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are a huge church in Leesburg, in the part of downtown historic
mm-hmm.
Leesburg, and
mm-hmm.
we're not drawing people.
Yeah.
But if you go to other churches, they're full.
Mm-hmm.
They're full of people.
Yeah.
And you say, well, what are they doing? I know one couple that left here. They started going to this church because on Friday night they provided child care for couples who
mm-hmm.
want to just go out and you could bring your children.
Mm-hmm.
They could be there for games and activities.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, they're gone.
Yeah.
And we have just thought about the way we've always done things, and we don't want to change.
Yeah, and I agree. But I'm also reminded of Nehemiah. I'm reminded of Nehemiah, who, before he got the wall desire, he repented and he prayed for the leaders and repented for their sin. Because I can't believe that Mount Olive has been around this long, that they didn't have some ingenuity and some people with those creative, with those gifts and those talents to be able to flourish these ministries, and then that happened. Something happened that caused it didn't happen here. And so, because I don't know, is God, whatever's happened in the past, God, can we repent of not being aggressive and not being allowing people to be free to use their gifts and their talents for whatever reason, then God, can we now be open to it? Because I just don't believe that these people, that they're at another church and their gift not here. I do believe that God would have a person who's gifted in that area to do child care, to do a daycare, do all those kind of things, but somehow leadership couldn't shut it down. You never know why things are not happening here. So I just say sometimes we need to pray for God to really open us up. I believe everybody else is not growing and we're stuck. You know, I remember Jesus with the fig tree. All these other trees are growing, but this one's not. There's a problem how the other trees are getting flourishing, but this one tree is not. And maybe there's some things where we're not getting the nourishment like we should. Maybe we're not praying like we should collectively and getting together to break some strongholds that's hindering what God wants to do. Yes, Aunt Berlin, I'm sorry.
Okay. Sometimes not always the quantity of people is the quality of people that come. I know I've heard a lot from when I've been here, like,
mm-hmm.
it's about 5 years now.
You said the quantity versus the quality?
Yeah, because sometimes you look at big churches that can draw and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But then you look at a small church,
mm-hmm.
and the quality of that church, and the quality of learning, and
mm-hmm.
the quality of new ministers
yep.
coming in, it's a big difference. I know I've heard, there's like, you know, it could be some way, you know, I'm going to try to be careful with it. But I believe, and I might be wrong, but in Mount Olive, say, like, you take me as a new person here, the quality of teaching here, quality of love here, quality of being united here, is good. Because I've been to a lot of different churches, by the way.
Yep.
But there may be a lot of negativity, true enough, and it's like mm-hmm. all churches. And if you get a church with like a TJ, they get all the people all over. But then, who's drawn there? Who is helping them? Who is discipling them? Who is shepherding them? And you see people shouting, da, 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 da. But have they learned the Bible?
Yeah.
I have learned here that as we go along in this church, we have quality in our teaching, because when something is said, it's broke down, and this is how this is going, because if you can read Genesis 1,000 times, but you didn't understand, it doesn't matter how many people were there.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's broke down here, mm-hmm. so now, like she was saying, yeah, there's different ministries as far as the children and the this and the that and the health and the that, and that can be taken care of. But myself personally, I think that Mount Olive is the quality, and the quality of the shepherding versus the quantity. So, because every time someone comes here on Sunday, they don't come and say, well, you know what, I read in the paper, I did it. It was because someone said something positive about this church. And
absolutely.
Not only do they do that, they come and they stay, and they come and they listen.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So, because we can get a lot of people, perhaps, to come to this little white church on the hill. In Kentucky, for my house. But we get them to come here. It's
yeah.
like the night that I came here. I've never seen this guy again, but what I asked is, do you have, is there a Baptist church around? First thing he said, well, there's a lot. This and this and that. He says, but now Olive is this. And he says, the reverend there is this and that.
Mm-hmm.
He brought me here. I didn't know who I was. Fact, it was kind of bad because I got in. He said, I'll take you there.
Yep.
I got in his car. It was late at night.
Yep.
And he took me here.
Yep.
And I've been here. And I wasn't here because I know there's a lot of negative here. I'm here because I see the quality of people that are still here.
Mm.
And I see the quality of teachers like yourself, a quality of teachers like Reverend Jasper.
Praise God.
And most of all, I see the quality and the good example of Reverend Stinger and his family life, his
mm-hmm.
wife, and so forth,
mm-hmm.
that is excellent. And that's why I say, I mean, I see a lot of stuff, and trust me, I've heard a lot of stuff that goes here. God has closed my ears to that because that's not what I'm here for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
Amen.
Here for
Amen.
Quality
Amen.
Of what he is doing.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I hope I stated it right. And, you know, I don't want to
talk. High five. Thank you. Yeah.
I do just want to say that me personally, when I started coming here, our hall was full. I mean, completely packed every Sunday. And me being a not so young, but younger person that comes here, I've talked to a lot of people that have stopped coming here to find out, why did you stop coming? And I think that's one of the things that kind of didn't hit on, but we need to find out why our people aren't coming here any longer, because it's something that's
mm-hmm.
stopping them, and we need to bring them back as well as get other people in the community.
Yeah, yeah, and I agree. I do. I think that it's a healthy tip, but I also do believe that I have the Holy Spirit. And if I'm leaning and really intentional to him, he'll give me the nugget that the disgruntled person left. I'll get it. Somehow, some way, it'll come out.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're praying about it, God will sometimes drop it in. Because again, here's the thing. God wants you to address the issue.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I do, but it can't just come from...
I agree.
I mean, we as a church people should be calling our sisters and brothers and saying, listen, we had a great service today. Sorry that you missed it. What can I do to get you?
I agree.
It might be they need a ride. It
I agree.
They don't
I
have
agree.
Somebody to keep an eye on their kids.
I agree.
The reason,
I agree.
They stop coming and we need to find
figure out
why.
I agree.
And have it and bring them back.
I agree.
Because I'm sorry, when I was out there all the way in Ruston,
mm-hmm.
no one got in touch with me. Mm-hmm. No one followed up with me to mm-hmm. see, you know, if, are you alive? Are you dead? How are your kids? You know, what's going on with you?
Mm-hmm.
I miss my church.
Yeah.
But no one reached out to me to say,
yeah.
listen, come on.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do to help you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we, as a church family, should mm-hmm. be doing. For our church people as well as the community.
And I agree. I agree with you. I think that's a great point. But here also, I want to say to you and others, though I do understand and think that's a vital ministry that needs to be done,
mm-hmm.
but what more greater person to be involved is the person who's been hurt? A Charlotte calling, because Charlotte knows how
Charlotte
it feels.
I get it.
I get, well, hold on. I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it. But now God may be shifting and moving now. And so maybe the time you want to do it may not have been God's time for whatever reason. But now what more greater, because you have a sensitivity. So if let's say if Luella calls, she may not be as sensitive because she don't have the hurt like you have. That makes sense?
Yeah.
And so sometimes people who that God allows us to go through those hurts and pains are catalysts for people to talk to who've been hurt like we have to be able to say, you know what, how do we, you know, so I would say I would love to rally with you. Let's talk. Let's see how we can go about doing it. We can talk to Deacon, say, hey, man, get us the list. We get the church list, get the address, call whatever numbers we have. We sit down and do that. I have no problem doing that at all. But again, I just believe that you could be a catalyst to it. All right. Let's go. Sorry, y'all. Amen. Sorry for being over it.